Welcome to the Everesting Podcast. This is episode 54, and this is a long-awaited episode. We have had a significant pause in publishing the podcast, and we have been in the background sort of reinventing it a little bit. So that's what this episode is an introduction to what we'll call the new version of the Everesting Podcast, along with some new collaborators. So that's the idea, is to expand who is involved with the podcast, and thus who were able to get onto the podcast, the types of discussions that we're able to have, and hopefully ultimately reach more people and help grow our niche here. So I'm introducing Guy Townsend and Thijs van den Nieuwenhof, who are both integral in the Everesting community in various ways, and we'll talk more about that in the episode, but you're going to hear them more frequently on the Everesting podcast, and I am honored to be able to do so with them. So on to this episode, and we hope that you enjoy the new direction of the show. I reached out to you guys. I'm joined here by Guy Townsend and Thijs van den Nieuwenhof, who are both longtime established members of the Everesting community for various reasons and various exploits on and off the bike. And I reached out to you two guys a few months ago to talk about the Everesting podcast, its genesis, and sort of where it's going and where it can go. So I was 53 episodes in. Some of the very first episodes that I recorded were with you, Guy. They were the How to Prepare for an Everesting, which was something that we took from your blog, yeah. Sir Guy Lightspeed, and we turned into podcast episodes, which were intended to be like evergreen content that people could go to and listen to over and over again and use as a resource as they prepared and geared up for an Everesting. And those were published in November of 2021, which sounds like a long time ago. Suddenly, that's 2.5 years. It's crazy that that amount of time has passed. Those episodes are the most downloaded episodes of the podcast's history, and I'm not surprised at all. And then those are being closely followed by your son's episode. So that's Tom Townsend, who's a cycling coach. And we recorded two awesome episodes about how to train for an Everesting. So it was really cool to have a father and son duo sort of bookend those two subjects. And those downloads are rapidly increasing now, because that's exactly the type of stuff that people are looking for. But we still want to have the podcast tell stories and share the community. But I did feel as though I'd sort of taken it as far as I could go in a single host format. And I wanted to have more collaborators in the format. So that can be sometimes somebody else hosting the podcast completely. Sometimes that can be the three of us discussing something topical in the Everesting world. So that is the concept. So this is an introduction to Everesting 2.0, or the Everesting podcast 2.0, and what it's going to look like going forward. So we're going to have more people involved and hopefully more content out to the crew and the Everesting community, or aspiring Everesters, as important as existing Everesters, or perhaps more. And that's what we're doing. So this episode is just to introduce my two new co-hosts or part-time co-hosts to the Everesting podcast. So I can start off there, and then I can let both of you take the floor and just let us know a little bit about your involvement in Everesting up to now. So Guy, you want to go first?
Sure. Thanks, Pete. So I guess I first heard about Everesting. I was sitting in there's an event called Sunk Coals Challenge, and I was sitting in the pre stage one kind of post dinner chat group of whatever that was, 30 people in the Dolomites, feeling really nervous. And the guy who runs that, who is a Brit but lives in Belgium, said, he was talking about the 10 stages coming up, and he said, has anyone ridden over 6,000 meters in a single ride before? And one guy's hand goes up. And the reason he asked that was that stage four was 6,000 meters. So it was 6,400 meters after three 200K, 5,000 meter days. So I was terrified of stage four. And I look at this guy and his hand's gone up. And the following question was, well, how much higher? This guy goes, well, I did 9,000 meters. And I'm just looking at him sort of going, you've got to be kidding me. And I, next day I'm running alongside him and I kind of go, so look, tell me about the 9,000 meters today. And he was wearing Hell's 500 kit, which which looked pretty slick. It was the old school, I mean, it just looked super slick. And this, sure enough, this guy looked really strong. And I'm sort of like, so tell me about this. And he goes, well, it's this new thing called Everesting. And I was, you know, my jaw was on the floor. But as I've told you before, Pete, I'm instantly thinking, oh, my gosh, I have to do this. because by then my thing was big, long days and climb. Even though if you've met me, you'll know that I don't look anything like a climber. And so I was literally, that was October 14. So Everesting had actually just become a thing, albeit I hadn't realized. And it was like I then had to wait out the winter before I could attempt it. I mean, literally as soon as spring came, I was spring 2015, I was in straight away, failed on my first attempt, went again a week later, succeeded, and then started to sort of go, well, I did a long, easy one, maybe I do a short, steep one, and you know, oh, now I want to go off-road, and now I want to go to altitude. And so compared to some people in the community, I haven't done that many, but I've done a few of varying different types, virtual, real, etc. And I just continually got asked, how did you do it? How do you prepare? What do I take? Where do I put my camp? Do I put it at the bottom or the top? Or, you know, is steeper easier than shallow? Or, I mean, just constant questions. And I pretty quickly decided, I'm just going to put this all in one place and then just keep it updated. And that was actually why the blog came about. And then Pete, you reached out some years later and went, hey, we need an audio version of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were one of the first people that Andy told me that I needed to talk to. So when we conceived of the podcast with Andy, and got his encouragement that we start it, because that's really how it started, was Andy and I starting it, and he was obviously an early guest and collaborator, but he's like, you have to talk to Guy Townsend, and we should have episodes surrounding those blog posts. And you still get messages and questions via the blog, right?
Exactly right, either through Instagram or through the blog directly. Because my email address is on there, I probably get two or three questions a week that haven't turned up in the Facebook page. And it would be, you know, it's, and then actually it's the same questions by and large. Every now and then there's a new one, like, has anyone done a Rome in Scotland, was a recent one. But usually actually it's the same things, like, you know, where do I put my camp, or what time do I start? Or it's, you know, the truth is it's all the same questions that come up in the Facebook group. And actually one of the thoughts I had for this new format 2.0 is that when we get questions that could be quite interesting to a wider audience, whether it's from the Facebook group or from my blog or whoever, we should maybe just bounce those around, you know, as the three of us, and sort of commit it to audio as well.
100%. We will definitely use this format. So first of all, for listeners who haven't listened to those early episodes, with Guy, definitely go back and give those ones a whirl. You will certainly learn something and about your preparation, but that is exactly one of the sources that we're going to use for content. So please reach out with questions. That can be to podcast@everesting.com or directly to Guy. And we'll table them. And some occasionally the three of us will probably have a different view on some of those things, right? Like, we won't do it now, but start time is such a controversial topic. I've changed my mind about what an appropriate start time is, and you know, we might have three different opinions on that. That'll be some of the fun of what we're doing here, for sure. So the podcast is not for me, it's not for the three of us, it's not for Andy, it is absolutely for the community. So we want as much participation from the community as we can get. It makes it more fun for everybody, more rewarding, and it gets more people across the finish line, right? So Thijs, tell us your background in this. So to introduce Thijs a little bit, he is, if you were part of the Facebook group, you probably know who he is. If you're not, you might not know who he is, but he's somewhere between an ultra endurance cyclist and kind of the Wizard of Oz of Everesting too. He is behind the curtain working on all kinds of initiatives and projects and stuff.
Yeah, thanks Pete, great intro. And of course, for me, my journey with Everesting is, of course, also can be listened to in one of the podcasts we did a year ago. But just in short, I'm the kind of cyclist that likes to challenge myself, see how much further I can push. What can I do? Where's my breaking point? Do I even have a breaking point? So I was doing this cycling challenge that I did myself during COVID. And eventually I was doing so much cycling. I was like, okay, how much crazier can I do? How much crazier can I make this? So I went up to Alpe du Zwift. I thought to myself, you know, today I'm going to do it 5 times. We'll see how far we get, but the aim is to do it 5 times. I haven't even heard about what Everesting is. So I'm doing this up and down and I see this guy with a huge amount of kilometers next to his name. So I had to drop him a chat like, hey, what are you up to? What are you doing for craziness? And he told me that he was doing a triple Everesting. I'm like, you're doing a what? He said, so he explained a little bit, you know how it goes if you're that deep into an Everesting. It's nice to chat with someone, and especially Zwift offers this great community for it. So he talked a bit about it and I was intrigued. So same like you guy, you know, you hear someone talking about doing something insanely stupid or crazy. And yeah, as a endurance cyclist yourself, you're like, okay, I'll need to check this out. So I finished my 5 climbs and I'm like, okay, I did it. Awesome. I felt like crap with all my body, but mentally I was in a very happy place. So the next day I checked out Everesting.cc and I was like, okay, so this is Everesting. So you have to do the same climb over and over again. I'm like, yeah, I did that. And if you do half of it, so 44.24, and I was about a little over 5,000 meters, then you have a base camp. And I'm like, oh, wow, I already did it. But I didn't follow the rules because, of course, it had to be on full difficulty. And to me, it was halfway there. So I never submitted that one. But in immediately, I was like, okay, that was in May. I'm like, I'll have to do this. So I started training. In August, I did my first attempt outside. I picked a climb in the Netherlands. And as you know, we pretty much, our mountains are more like speed bumps compared to the rest of the world. So I knew I had to do 120 reps on this one climb in the southern part of the Netherlands. And I got to 84 climbs and then it was just too hot to continue. So had to throw in a towel, safety first. But 1 week later, I went back on Zwift again because it was the first ascent week for France. France just opened. You had Ventop, so Mont Ventoux was on there. And I was like, you know what? I still had a bone to pick with this Everesting. So a week later, completely unprepared, I even did a boot camp workout that morning. I wasn't even sure I was going to do anything. But later in that afternoon, it just didn't sit well. So I got to the supermarket. I bought me a lot of snacks, went back home, jumped on a bike, and I didn't stop cycling until I had reached the 9,000 meter mark. And that was my first one. So having done this this Everesting, I was like, okay, I want to throw it out there, you know. So I got in touch with the community, got in touch with a Facebook group, and slowly but surely, I found out that Andy was the one behind it doing all the adjudications, which sounded crazy to me. The website was taking very long if you want to do a submission. So I was seeing rather a few technical challenges within the IT solution of where Everesting was built upon that my brain was like, okay, there's room for improvement here. And I had my own business in IT. It was more like project management or doing trainings for Microsoft business software. I'm like, you know what? But I know a good team. So I draw up, just some bullets in a document that I wanted to talk to with Andy. And I can still remember that on a Thursday, I threw him an email like, hey, man, love your Everesting, love what you do. I think there's room for improvement. If you want to talk, let's have a virtual cup of coffee. The next day he answered to me, well, it was exactly what he was looking for at that time. The Monday after we had our first meeting and here we are closing in on 4 years later.
That's crazy. You're like this angel that appeared to him. But he needed the help so badly, I'm sure. He's probably just drowning. He's like, oh, thank God this guy's here. I think that's one of the coolest things about Everesting. And I know this sounds a bit corny, but it's pretty magical how it's brought people from all over the world together. It is really cool.
Definitely.
I've talked to people. I've been fortunate enough to interview people on the podcast from Australia, England, the Netherlands, Spain, Taiwan, United States, multiple other parts of Canada, Germany. Like, it's really, really cool. And from a timing perspective, like if Andy had conceived of this, you know, in the 70s or the 80s, there's no way that it grows the way that it does because of this ability to connect, right? Or to you're having a virtual cup of coffee with him 24 hours after you reached out, right? I mean, it was the right thing at the right time, but it's really, really neat the way that the people are all over the place are able to connect about it. That's the first thing that I find so interesting. The other thing that's really neat is that it was conceived as this challenge based on, well, originally what Sir Edmund Hillary's grandson had done, right?
Yeah.
But it's been taken in a million different directions since then, right? And it's just been reimagined by so many people. And it's this really neat thing where there's these parameters, but the rest of it's yours, and it's your own unique journey. And there's so many ways to take it on. And those are the things that to me that make it sort of, it'll live forever because of those two things.
Yeah. And it's the simplicity of it. It's a few very simple rules, and it's the fact that you can do it anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. And that amazes me so much is the variety of what people bring to this challenge, because like you said, Guy, the rules are pretty simple and it's a very basic challenge. And then there are these people that are like, okay, this is not crazy enough. So you have this guy with a wheelbarrow just going up and down. I've seen guys, seen someone do it on a unicycle. I'm like, how? Mm-hmm. How are these people actually doing this? So it's you. It's already, since it's about 10, going on for 10 years now, people are getting so creative with what Everesting is that it has so much possibilities also for the technical spectrum that we're looking at to what an Everesting could also be.
Yeah, oh, definitely. We have not, the challenge has not been maxed out, not by any stretch. No. It's going to grow in all kinds of different directions and stuff. And the timing of this, the reimagining of the podcast is actually great timing, because it actually seems as though a whole bunch of parts of the community are sort of being reimagined right now, even right down to branding and logos and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. You guys seen a new logo, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Very exciting.
And I know,
I was like, Andy, now I'm just going to buy a bunch more apparel because of this. I mean, got to have the new logo on, right? So.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
It's the fact that it's actually the new logo, actually, that is Everest.
Because
I came from a background of climbing, and although I've never been to Everest, I know exactly what that mountain looks like from all different angles. So I was pleasantly not surprised, but just content that the new logo actually has the real Everest.
Yes, because the old logo was cool. So, I mean, there's always a risk in redesigning something that's already cool and has brand recognition, yeah. Right? So I think it's terrific. So this is it. This is the new concept, the new format. We're very much looking forward to people. So we can use this as a call out to people right now. If you have questions, if you have a topic that you would love for us to dig into, if you there's something fact-based or numbers-based or Everesting history base that you'd like us to research, we have the means to find out some of those answers too. We can call on Andy and Tam to do some deep dives. So help us take this in its new direction, and tell us what you want it to be. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. You can reach out to, I think, any of us on Instagram. You guys are both on Instagram, yep, as well, right? So you can hit any of us up there, podcast@everesting.com, or reach out to Guy via his blog. And that's it. So we'll be trying to publish on a semi-regular basis. We'll always keep it fun and make sure that it fits into everybody's lives. But that's what we're doing. And we will also, I'm going to speak for him now, we're going to have Tom Townsend on a semi-regular basis to tackle training questions, because I'm dangerously underqualified to do that.
Nice.
So valuable.
Oh, I mean, just a giant resource, because you can, especially if you're fit and you're strong, you can think that your routine is serving you correctly, but there's also the, but it's because you haven't realized that there's a different way to do it that might actually have more upside. And I think that's what Tom can pick apart, right? So Tom is not, he could certainly help somebody get off the couch to their first real bike ride, but he can definitely take people who are already riding like 100 milers and are lean and fit and get, but there's a whole nother level. There's a whole nother 25 or 30 watts to your FTP that are there. And it's in the margins usually. And that's what Tom seems to be very good at finding.
Yeah. And he's very technical. He now works for Downing Cycling, but that came about because he was coached by Downing Cycling. And I remember Dean telling me how technical he thought Tom was. And that was before Tom actually became fully qualified. But he's very good at dispelling, you know, he will quash the myths. And he's very good at that. So
yes. And he's not no fun. Like he's the first person to raise his hand and say he loves candy and coffee.
Correct.
So he won't ruin your life, I promise.
No. Yeah, so I agree. I think on training topics and some of the topics that we've already talked about that we want to cover in the coming episodes, he'll be really useful to have along.
Definitely. So that's what we'll do. So gentlemen, thank you for joining me on this journey. And thank you for recording this this first introductory episode. And we will reconvene very soon.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it as well. Yeah, awesome.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Guy. Thank you, Thijs, for indulging me with this new direction of this project. It has been something I've loved doing over the last couple of years, and it's been awesome to have Andy involved in this behind the scenes, but I'm really excited to grow it in a new direction with some new collaborators. So everybody who has been a listener to the podcast, thank you so much for tuning in. We really, really appreciate that. We're going to try and get episodes much more frequently out to you and more content. And taking in a whole bunch of new directions. If you're able to help us grow the podcast, the easiest way to do that is give us a positive rating or review on whatever podcast platform you're finding the show. That goes a long way to helping us find new audience members, as does word of mouth. So if you have somebody in your life that you think is thinking about some really big endurance challenges, this is definitely the podcast for them. And we'd love if you could steer them in our direction. Thanks again, and we'll be back soon.